I'll say along with Joanna, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for our children. I know as a parent, whatever parent knows, you can do the very best that you can do. And those children, when they come of age, they're going to have to make their own decision, their own choices. Whether it's the convictions that you try to instill in them or standards or whatever. And not saying this to say that I'm any better than anybody else. God in heaven knows I sure don't feel that way. But I thank God for his mercy. All of our kids that have left the house are serving the Lord somewhere. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. I really am. I'm grateful that they all found somebody saved that loves the Lord and that want to serve the Lord together. Amen. That's just a great, great blessing. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. I've been trying to go through some of this about the Lord's Supper because we want to try to remember the Lord's Supper here in a couple of weeks. And I want to, as far as I listen, you may have that settled in your heart exactly what you need to do, and you know everything you need to know about it, but there's a lot of people that don't understand it and the sincerity of it and what it means. And it's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. And what we want to get into tonight, looking in chapter number 11, the apostle in, for sake of reading, there's more that I'm going to try to open up to, but for sake of reading, verse number 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Looking at these passages and in the previous passages, you can also find that Paul began to speak about this fellowship and this communion in chapter number 10 and verse number 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So he begins to speak about the communion, and he talks about down in verse number 20 and 21, specifically 21, ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord. It's the communion cup. The cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And in the context, as you look at this, many of them were bringing wine and drinking it and becoming intoxicated. And I want to say this, by the way, alcohol is the cup of the devil. Amen. I mean, and people that say they're saved and will try to defend a regular drink, I don't have much confidence in that, just to be honest with you. Amen? And I know that there have been medicines made with small amounts. But now listen, if we start taking things into our own hands, I'm not a doctor, amen, don't claim to be a doctor, and you know, I just don't think we should do that, because I'll tell you why, the temptation that comes with it, and we shouldn't want to have anything that brings temptation into our life, amen. I'm not going to keep me a bottle that I snuck into the ABC store and I got me a fifth of something. I keep it back in the cabinet for coughs every now and then. I'm not going to do that. Listen, I sure ain't going to ask somebody else to go in somewhere like that and buy it for me. Amen? We, as God's people, shouldn't be seen going into such places. We shouldn't be partakers of such things. By the way, there has never been anything good come out of sales of alcohol or the consumption of alcohol. It leads to drunkenness, and God is against drunkenness. Amen. The old timers used to say this that when they preach. Oh, preacher, I just drink one glass. I just drank one beer. You know what they'd say? We are one beer drunk. Amen. That's how the old timers used to preach. Amen. I just one little bit, one little glass. We are one glass drunk. Stay away. If you're God's person, stay away from the alcohol. Amen. There's nothing good can come out of that. But they were bringing it in. Bringing it in. Do you know that there have been, personal experience with other men, churches that begin to bring social drinking into their fellowship. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine anything so carnal and worldly to enter into the congregation of the house of God? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I shouldn't do anything at home I'm not willing to do right here. Are you hearing? There's no place for that in God's house. Amen. I don't know why I got off on all that, but I did. And that's all right. Listen, they were many of the rich We're bringing in, a lot of food to fellowship and a lot of wine. And then the poor, they had very little. If you'll read chapter 10 and chapter 11, and maybe the Lord let me get into that part some other time, but not right now. I'm trying to just give you a basic understanding of what was happening here. And what they were doing, they were despising the poor. They would set among one another, the rich would, and they would despise the poor. And here they are, they were gluttoning and drinking, and the poor over here, they were hungry and starving and didn't have anything. And Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper. And they started making this thing into a big hee-haw, amen, a big fellowship, a big dinner. And they Paul said, if you're hungry, eat at home. That's what he told them. When he come to the Lord's Supper, you don't take the Lord's Supper, the things that are to remember him, to remember his death, to remember his body being broke, to remember his blood being given, and use it for appetite. And so that was some of what was happening here. Part of the being unworthy that we read about, them drinking unworthily, had to do with some things, the disorders that he started in chapter 11, verse 17. He began to rebuke them for the disorders at the Lord's Supper. The Corinthian church was full of disorder. They were the Lord's Supper, it was twisted. The spiritual gifts, he had to rebuke them over that. Those were twisted. The very previous verses in chapter number 11, the men and the women were debating who could come and pray with their head covered or uncovered. Women were wanting to come uncovered. And Paul was telling them, hey, God give your hair for a covering. God wants you to be covered. And so he began to rebuke the men and women. I mean, men were wanting to wear long hair. And he was telling them, that's a shame. That's a shame. You're not supposed to come with a covering over your head. Amen? And so they had so many things that they were, just out of the way, that were disorders in the church. A church should be a place of order. Let everything, the Bible said, be done in decency and in order. In order. And so he said in verse number 17 of chapter 11, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. That's one of the things that made them unworthy, was the divisions that were among them. You don't want to have division between you and the brethren in Christ. Amen? If there's divisions, if there's two people divided, or a member divided against their pastor or their teacher, that division needs to be cleared up. That's a disorder. And to take the Lord's Supper with division among us would be to take it unworthily. And so we don't want to take it with division among us. And then he told them, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you. Now that division is like a word, schisms. And this heresies is a word for sects, like groups. Got groups in the church. Some believe this and some believe that. You know, this crowd wanted this pastor, and this crowd wanted that pastor, and this crowd believes in a resurrection. This crowd don't believe in a resurrection, and they had different sects in the church. They were so divided, they was not going to take the Lord's Supper that way. They needed to get some things straightened out. Amen? They needed to be unified. Because he told them, he said, are we not all of us one bread? One bread. All of us are like one bread. We are the body. We are as one bread. We don't need to be a broken bread, broken all to pieces. Amen. And so there were schisms. There were sects among them, heresies, divisions. Those things would make them to where that they were unworthy. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. This is what I was telling you a minute ago. They were coming together, bringing their food, and they were thinking they were having the Lord's Supper. Like a last supper. We're just going to all come together and eat. But he said, when you come together in one place, he said in verse 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. Well, I'm not going to eat what they brought. I'll keep my stuff over here. And we'll eat our stuff here. They didn't bring nothing. Well, oh well, sorry. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. And that's what was happening right there in the Corinthian church. And he told him, and one is hungry and another is drunken. You have people over here, poor, that was hungry, sitting over, and them over there, they wasn't only getting full, they was getting drunk. Right inside God's house. Can you imagine that? Don't you think that'd make somebody unworthy to take the Lord's Supper? Well, sure it would. That's a mockery. That's a mockery of everything God stands for. God tells us to be good to the poor, to give to the poor. Amen. Not to boast before them and glut before them and get drunk before them. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? They were shaming those people. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then he told them, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The very thing that I received of God, of Christ, I delivered it to you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He's giving them the model of the Lord's Supper. When they came there that night, read it. They had a supper, a last supper. Jesus even offered Judas a close fellowship by dipping in the sop with him. But then, after that, the Lord's Supper began. So I'm totally separate from the last supper. He took bread and broke it and said, this is my body. He took that fruit of the vine, that wine, that non-alcoholic wine. I'll say that to my last breath. non-alcoholic. Amen. No preservatives, no additives, nothing added, no sugar, just like the bread, no leaven, nothing was put in it. It was pure what it was. Amen? Because that's what he is, pure, holy, holy, undefiled, sinless. That's the picture of the bread and the wine. And he took that and he said, this is my blood. Amen? That was totally different from the supper that they had eaten together. This was the Lord's supper. And so he said, that night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That was the reasoning for the Lord's Supper. To show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whomsoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. To drink it in an unworthy manner. To eat the bread in an unworthy manner. To do it unworthily. And here's what he said. But let a man examine himself. Listen, before you take the Lord's Supper, you need to examine yourself. Why am I taking this? I definitely don't want to take it because I'm hungry. Give me two or three of them crackers right there. Give me a couple of them wines. No, we're not eating it to get filled and to get our thirst quenched. Examine ourselves. The Bible tells us in one place, examine yourselves, see whether you be in the faith. First, you need to know that you're saved to take the Lord's Supper. Know that you're saved. Know that you're sanctified. You're taking this. You set it apart for this purpose. Amen? And that you are set apart for him. I am the body of Christ. I am a part of the body of Christ. I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins are gone. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This unworthily, everything that we've been talking about, the divisions, the heresies, the dividedness, the unreasoning of the supper, everything that we've been preaching about, all of these things would make them take it unworthily if they took it. So they must examine themselves. Is my heart right with the Lord? Am I in fellowship with the Lord? Am I in fellowship with the brethren? Listen, let me give you some advice. You can't be in fellowship with the Lord if you're not in fellowship with the brethren. You got to be in fellowship with the church to be in fellowship with the Lord. I've heard people say for years, well, you know, I can live for the Lord. I don't have to go up there to church. There ain't no way, no way you're going to have any kind of fellowship with the Lord if you can't fellowship with the church. There's no way. Why? We are that bread. We are his body. Amen? You're looking at the body of Christ. How could somebody not want to have a part with the body of Christ? Amen? So, examine ourselves. We don't drink it unworthily. That I don't have some sin in my life, because these things are sins. Some unconfessed sin in my life. Something that's not pleasing to the Lord. I need to judge myself. Bible said in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Take a look at your life and do a self-examination and make a self-judgment. Have I been doing what the Word says? What I believe is that what makes the action of how I live? Is it according to the Scripture? Is it according to the Word of God? I'm going to tell you something. If you're looking to not find sin, you're going to be disappointed. He that saith he hath not sinned is a liar. He deceiveth himself. The very fact that you and I have this sin nature, there's some, that we're going to have to confess to the Lord and say, God, forgive me of the sins in my life. Whether you know them or whether you don't know them. Are you listening to me? You should make a confession to the Lord. It's like the priest going to the wash basin and washing that dirt off his hands and off of his feet. Lord, I want to come into your presence. I want to be able to break the showbread. I want to be able to drink that cup. Amen? I want to be able to have that fellowship, to be able to remember, Lord, your death, your suffering for me. Your suffering, listen, this will help you. Not just his suffering for me, his suffering for us. You are precious in the eyes of Christ. You're precious in my eyes. We should be precious in one another's eyes. My Lord suffered not just for me, but for them. For this body. Amen? A unity. It brings a unity. A strong unity. Oh, goodness. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That happened to the Corinthian church. Because they had taken unworthily. Some of them stayed divided. Some of them kept their little groups. Some of them, you know, didn't want to see the difference in their gluttonous and drunkenness and the Lord's Supper. And they thought they'd just go ahead and take it anyway. No big deal. Many of them got sick, and some of them died. Now, this is after the days when people walked in the book of Acts because they lied to the Holy Ghost and dropped dead at Peter's feet. This is not in a transition time. The church is here. The church is existing. And the Lord's Supper has been instituted, and some of them took it unworthily and got sick, and some of them took it unworthily and died. It's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. We reverence Him. We reverence Him. Listen, if it is just the picture of, again, that bread, and that wine, that juice that we drink, that bread that we eat, it is not literally His body and His blood. It doesn't go down and change. But because it is a likeness, it is a significant picture, then it must be deemed holy to you and I. A holy act. When we baptize somebody, that is a holy act in the church. Revealing to the world the death, burial, the resurrection of that believer with Christ. It's a reverence of His finished work. Amen. Of what Christ did to redeem you and I. And that is holy. That is holy. When we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Listen, if you'll judge yourself, the Lord's not going to judge you. Amen. You take a good, sincere look at your life. If you feel like you've confessed to Him best way you know how, listen, I want to take of the Lord. You know what that is? It's saying, I am partaker with Him. I am partaker with Him. I don't want to not take it. It's like pushing Him back. I want to take it. And listen, just me looking at myself, I'm unworthy of Him in every way. Just looking at me, myself, the way that I am unworthy of Him in every way. We all are. Thank God His body and His blood is what makes you and I worthy. It has to be. If what Christ did for us doesn't make us worthy, nothing else will. Surely nothing I could do. You say, well, preacher, why all the self-examination and judging ourselves and just confessing to the Lord and clear conscience. A clear conscience. That I'm just not, you know, like the Corinthians, sitting over here glutton and drunken and laughing and cutting up and going, just nearly despising the Lord's Supper. We should make a grand effort, I believe. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. Listen, I don't want to be condemned with the world. I want the Lord, if I face something the Lord needs to point out, I want Him to point it out in my life. I'll gladly say, Father, help me, forgive me. Help me to lay that aside. Help me to get that right. Somebody, even if I don't know, and it may not be, I'd hate to even have a thought that somebody that I was divided with them, that felt like maybe they had something against me. Before I take the Lord's, you know what I'd want to do? Go to them and let them know just how much I love them and how much that I absolutely wouldn't ever want anything to be between us. And really look to see, have I done something to offend one of my brothers and sisters in Christ? I don't want to do anything to offend my brothers and sisters in Christ. No, Now, if living for God offends anybody, I can't help that. You can't help that. If standing for the truth offends someone, we can't help that. But something intentional. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 33, I'm done. When you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Wait on one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. We need to help watch one another. Tarry one for another. We're in this together. We do this together. We serve one another. Serve one another. I really believe, because of the example that was given of Christ, the pastor should be the servant to the people. To serve that Lord's Supper. God gives every believer a discerning. And we don't want to get to the place in verse number 29 at the end of it, he said, not discerning the Lord's body. If we're saved, listen, you know if your fellowship's right with him. You know if there's something you need to do. I do. This Lord's Supper is a communion, a partaking with Christ, but it's also a fellowship of one another. It keeps us in union, in unity. It's supposed to. We cannot be the church that Christ wants us to be if we are not in unity, in union with one another. Amen. All right, I am done for this evening. Bless you.